Chapter 10 again tonight. This is part 2 of the shepherd and his sheep. Some beautiful lessons that we learn from the shepherd and the sheep. Again, teachings and preachings on this have been around since time of Jesus. The sheep are the most mentioned animal in the Bible, and the Bible likens us to sheep. Not flattering, but very appropriate. Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are sheep. And we were sheep without a shepherd once. Prone to loss and panic, being preyed upon by the world. But when you took us into the fold, when you became our shepherd, things changed. We now have that safety and that peace and that joy that only comes by following the shepherd. Lord, we still have in ourselves that old nature, that wild sheep nature that wants to wander and roam and go where it shouldn't. As the hymn writer of old said, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. So Lord, we need to stay close to you, especially in these times of spiritual and theological confusion and delusion, because sheep can be deceived. We want to stay close to you, close to the shepherd. Help us tonight, Lord, help us to learn. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 13 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus again unto them, Verily, verily, truthfully I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and he cares not for the sheep. So last week, we looked at some characteristics of the sheep, and we learned that sheep are not as sure-footed as their wild ancestors, the bighorn, which is a wild sheep. They're sure-footed, but not that sure-footed. So therefore, the shepherd must be careful where to lead them. And if they wander astray, they can fall off cliffs, as we've shown you last week. Sheep, domestic sheep, are not able to provide for themselves. They have to be led to pastures. They really can't find the pasture on their own. They have to be brought there by the shepherd. Domestic sheep are not able to protect themselves. They have no claws or no wings to fly away. They have no fangs. They don't run very, very fast. They can't outrun a wolf, really. Domestic sheep easily get lost. They do have a tendency to wander away. They have no sense of direction. They panic easily. As I told you, that happened a few years ago in Turkey. 1,500 sheep followed one sheep. One sheep panicked, then all the other sheep panicked, and they followed the sheep off the cliff, right? And so sheep follow sheep, and that's good and it's bad, right? Remember the Apostle Paul said, follow me, for I follow Christ. And I told you last week that Jim Jones says, whenever you hear my voice, you're hearing the voice of God. And Jim Jones led his people down to where? Was it Guyana? Where they drank the infamous Kool-Aid mixture, right? So sheep follow sheep. Sheep want to follow. Sheep do know the shepherd's voice, as we read in John chapter 10. But we also learn from what one shepherd said, sheep will follow a stranger when that sheep is sick. And that's why we want to keep ourselves healthy. So that was last week, just in a nutshell. If you weren't here, if you want to review that, you can go back online and look at it. Today we want to look at something else regarding the shepherd and a sheep. There is a time when the shepherd places his sheep in a very uncomfortable position. It's very awkward for the sheep, and it can be very frightening for the sheep. And that is when it's time for shearing. By and large, sheep don't like to be sheared. They don't like that position. Where the shepherd grabs them, he turns them over, sits them on their haunches, and in a few minutes he begins to cut off their wool. Right? It is an uncomfortable position for them. It is awkward, and they can be frightened. Someone asked a shepherd, "Do most sheep hate getting sheared?" And the shepherd answered, "Well, just like going to the dentist." See, you like going? You were there, right, Gail? You don't mind it?
Well, he's a great guy.
Okay. I have a good dentist, too, but I don't like to go to the dentist. Just like going to the dentist, nobody loves getting sheared. Okay? If only sheep knew how much better it makes things in the long run. It's funny, young sheep will fight against shearing pretty hard, struggling and kicking. But older sheep are pretty docile. They know the routine, it's not such a big deal. A good shearer will be done in 3 to 4 minutes with no pain at all.
See, I used to be extremely fearful, and when I met him, I really was extremely fearful. I would get into anxiety attacks. But now that I know the routine, it's so wonderful, because now that I know the routine, and he's so
That's right, and you know,
so expert
you know the shepherd,
and,
the dentist.
No, I really, because he knows exactly where my sore spots are.
Okay,
where my tenders,
good,
he
see,
knows how
that's right, just like
them.
The shepherd who
and
knows
like,
the sheep.
I really overcame my fear greatly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you said, I know the routine now.
That's
I know
right.
exactly what he's
right.
going to do, when he's going to do it.
Right, yeah.
And it's great.
I know when I was a little boy going to the dentist, so full of anxiety and fear, I would panic.
Me too.
You know, I would have like panic attacks. Hated the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true here too. You see, as we're immature Christians, and anyway, let me just backtrack a little bit. Shearing for us means God's taking something from us. Mm-hmm. See? He may take a home from us. He may take a job from us. He may take health from us. We don't know what he's going to take from us. Friends, he takes things away. But as the shepherd shears his sheep, it's for the good, for the benefit of the sheep, that he removes things. Okay? He knows we really should get rid of it. And the young sheep is not experienced of that. And so he, as this shepherd said, fights against the shearing. Just like young Christians will fight against the problems that God allows in their life. And they struggle against God. But as we mature, as we get older, as we grow in the Lord, we're older sheep, we accept God's will more readily. And there's peace. And a good shearer, now we talked about bad shepherds last week and good shepherds and bad sheep and good sheep. There are good shearers and bad shearers. And in Bible times, the shepherd did most of the shearing. Nowadays, it's a lot different. You have commercial shearing houses. Okay? And they can be very bloody. Okay, some of the hired shearers, they will punch the sheep in the face. They will drag them out of the stalls. They'll starve them for 3 or 4 days so they become more docile. Why? Because they get paid for every sheep they shear, and they want to do more. Okay? So they don't want to struggle with the sheep, because some sheep will struggle, especially rams. Okay? Rams don't like to be shorn at all. Right? So the hireling, that's the hireling again. Okay? He wants to get as many sheep done as possible, so he gets paid for each sheep. Okay? The shepherd's not like that. He will not starve his sheep just to make them more docile, right? And we're going to learn a little bit more about this as we go. So the younger sheep, they struggle. They fight against the shearing process. Right? But the older sheep, they've learned the routine. Here's the world's most famous sheep.
Wow, he's so cute.
I think he's a big poodle.
Oh, he's adorable.
His name is, he has a name they gave him. His name is Shrek. Okay?
Oh, Shrek.
They call him Shrek. Now, Shrek, the owner said, doesn't like to get sheared. So when shearing time comes, he hides in a cave. He did that for 6 years. Okay. For 6 years, he would hide in the cave. Right? And I guess the shepherd would just say, okay, I'm not going to shear you then, right? Okay. But sheep need to be shorn. They need to be sheared. So there are a few varieties of sheep that shed their own wool, but most sheep have to be cut. Right? And so Shrek, he passed away. This is in 2004. He passed away in 2011. The world's most famous sheep. He's from New Zealand, where there are more sheep than people. New Zealand, right? And here he is being shorn of his wool. Okay? And here it is. There he is. 60 pounds of wool. 60 pounds of wool. And they made 20 suits for men out of that wool. 20 wool suits came from Shrek's wool. Right?
That's amazing.
And he held the record until just last year they found another sheep. They haven't given him a name yet, but I think he has a little more wool than Shrek. You like that, Wesley? That sheep?
Wow.
He's got too much wool.
Okay?
We're going to see where that can be very dangerous. It can be lethal. Can be lethal for the lamb. Okay? Of course, this is the old-fashioned shearing shears, which some shepherds will use. Now a lot use the electric razor, okay, or shearer. Right? And that goes back to Egypt as an old. Of course, it wasn't rusty and blunt like it is now. That was in the earth, but the Egyptians. So you notice that it hasn't changed much. Okay, the shearing implements. Okay? So number one, and I forgot to give you a note paper to write down, but boy, I have a few extra here if anybody wants one. Ed, pass up. No, I don't think I can reach them. Thank you. I only have two copies. I'm sorry. I forgot to make that tonight. Note paper. Why sheep need to be sheared? Okay. It is necessary. And again, this shows us why God has to take things from us. We don't like it. Sheep don't like to be sheared. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. We get frightened. You know, God takes something from us or someone from us. Could be we lose the job. It could be we lose the promotion. So many things. Why do sheep need to be sheared? First of all, in the summertime, they can have a heat stroke. That wool on them, 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds, or in the case of Shrek, 60 pounds, can cause them to overheat in the summer. And they need that. We overheat sometimes with so much stuff in our lives. God says, you got too much stuff going on, right? I got to get rid of some of the stuff from your life, right? Sheep get dirty. Their wool gets dirty. It gets contaminated. This is a lot of flies will lay their eggs in there. And the maggots will grow, and other disease will affect the sheep, and they can get sick and die, okay, through that, right? It can lead to sickness and death, okay? The dirty wool. Here is a sheep with very dirty wool. And I would blame the shepherd for letting this sheep get so far off the way he should be, right? But he's filthy, he's matted. But that's how sheep do. One sheep farmer said, sheep get dirtier than pigs. And the reason is because their wool secretes lanolin, right? And things stick to them. And if they get dirty, and most of the dirt on sheep are feces, not just mud, but also feces. Right? If a pig gets muddy and it rains, the dirt washes off. But if it rains on a sheep like this, it just mats in more. So the farmer said that sheep can actually get dirtier than pigs, right? This happened to Israel. God told Israel that Samaria only did half the evil things, okay, that Israel did. That Israel, God's people, got dirtier than the heathen. Right? That's because they're sheep without a shepherd, right? Now, sheep are sometimes called walking Velcro strips. They gather a lot of sticks and straw and dirt and things in their fur. Now you might think, well, this is not so bad, but actually this can lead to their death too, as we'll see in a moment. Right? It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon that said this in one of his sermons. Number one, the sheep is rewarding the shepherd. That's by shearing. When the shepherd shears the sheep is giving him something. He's rewarding the shepherd for all the care, for all his love, for leading him to green pastures and still waters, for taking care of him. I'm going to reward you with this wool, which you can use to make clothing. Number two, Spurgeon said the lamb is benefited. He is now relieved of a burden. The more we have sometimes, the more burden we are, right? I know I've got a few pieces of equipment up there in the barn, and they need maintenance. And I say sometimes, boy, this is a burden. Okay? Got to fix this, got to take care of that, and lock this up. The more you have, the more of a burden it becomes. Okay? And so when God shears us, he removes things from us that are weighing us down. And we are, as Scripture says, to cast off every weight and every sin that easily besets us. The besettings from running the race. Okay? We get bogged down. Sheep get bogged down with all that wool. In fact, if you go online, you'll find an excellent sermon by Charles Spurgeon on sheep, shepherd, and the shearing. Number three, the sheep are first washed. Okay? Number four, shearers do not hurt the sheep if they are the owners of the sheep, if they are careful. They will always shear at suitable times. Sheep are shorn in the springtime, not the fall, because then they'll be almost naked when they face the winter. Right? Before the summer, so they don't overheat. So the proper time to shear the sheep is in the spring. And we know that spring is a time of resurrection and of life. Okay? And when sheep are shorn, they feel a lot lighter, they're quicker, they're happier. Even though they don't want to give up their wool, they're happier when they do. And even if God doesn't take something from us literally, we give it to him. Whether he takes it or not, we're happier because we yielded it to the Lord. Our job, our health, our family. We're happier when we yield it to God. And Spurgeon says, new wool is coming. Right? New wool is coming. It's not over. Right? Something new is coming. Philo Judaeus, a Hebrew historian, at contemporary of Christ, wrote this. He said, woolly rams laden with thick fleeces put themselves into his hands, the shepherds, to have their wool shorn, because thus accustomed to pay their yearly tribute to man, their king by nature, the sheep stands in a silent, inclining posture, unconstrained under the hand of the shearer. Someone wrote this little poem. How meek, how patient the mild creature lies. What softness in its melancholy face. What dumb, complaining innocence appears. Fear not, ye gentle tribes. 'Tis not the knife of horrid slaughter that is o'er you waved. No, 'tis the tender swain's well-guided shears, who, having now to pay his annual care, borrows your fleece. To you a cumbrous load will send you bounding to your hills again. Right? So it's the tendency to fear, especially even the best kind of shepherd has to take that lamb and turn it topsy-turvy. Okay? And that causes the fear. Okay? If we realize we're in the hands of Jesus Christ, there is no need to fear. So why do sheep try to avoid shearing like Shrek? Okay? Why don't they just run joyfully into the arms of the shepherd to be shorn? Well, because it's never a pleasant thing to lose something. Right? But the Scripture says in Hebrews 10:34, Paul writing, for you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. That's the shearing of your wool, the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I think one of the reasons why sheep avoid the shearer is because of this. Sheep, when they rest and sleep, lay in two different positions. Number one, on their stomachs. Secondly, on their side. Most of the pictures I saw were of sheep lying on their stomachs. Few here and there on their sides. Lying on their sides is problematic. It can be very dangerous. And I think sheep know that. They fear that. Because of what can happen to a sheep. This sheep is cast. It's called casting. The sheep has rolled over on his back and he will not get up. He will die. This is like a death roll for the sheep. Okay? And so when a sheep is lying on its side, it has more potential to roll over on its back. And if not for a shepherd or a well-meaning passerby, and I've seen videos of, I'll show you one, not a video, but just a clip, a still picture of someone passing by and riding a sheep. It's called casting. That sheep will die. That sheep cannot get up under its own power. Neither can we when we fall down. Okay. David said, I was in a horrible pit, and I cried to the Lord. He heard me, and he lifted me out of the horrible pit. David could not get himself out of that pit. But he did cry, and sheep will bleat. They'll cry. Crying for the shepherd. Technically, what happens when a sheep is cast, it's because they're either pregnant, or as in shepherd's lingo, they're heavy with lamb, or they're just plain overweight, okay, or they stumble and fall, they've stumbled and fell, or they have too thick fleece, and they get out of balance. So if a sheep has too much fleece, going back to why sheep need to be shorn, why they need to be sheared, if they have too much, remember the Laodicean church, okay? You say you are rich and increased with goods, oh, we have so much. What? And they were cast. They were cast into that position where they were dying. And so the shepherd knows, I've got to shear my sheep, so they don't get so laden with wool that when they lie down, they turn over, they lose their balance, and they get stuck. And they die. And the reason why, scientifically, is because gases will build up in their stomach. They become more vulnerable to predators because they can't run away. And there are some predators, like badgers, that will look for cast sheep. But also crows. Crows will land on a cast sheep and peck out its eyes. And I won't show you pictures of that because there are some out there, right? They will actually eat its eyes out. And you can see lambs walking around with one eye gone or two eyes gone because the crows. So they become very vulnerable at this time, but also the weight of the stomach pushes down on the lungs and it suffocates. So they can last in the summertime no more than 2 or 3 hours in the sun. Right? They will die. Right? Here is a picture of a construction worker passing by, and he saw a sheep cast. The sheep, when he came to it, was so weak, exhausted from trying to get up, and he eventually got it righted up, and he had to massage the legs. As shepherds, to massage the legs to get the blood flowing again, and eventually it was well and it went its way. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, because that's what it's called when someone takes a cast sheep and stands it up. It's called restoring the sheep. It's the restoration of the sheep. That is the technical term. You've restored the sheep. Okay. David said, he restores my soul. David had been cast down many times. The Apostle Paul said we were persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Why? Because of the shepherd. Okay. David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Look to the shepherd, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. In other words, David's saying, I'm cast down. My soul is cast down, but I'm going to look for his help. I can't get up myself. There's no way I can get out of this depression. No way I can get out of this sin. No way I can get out of this predicament I'm in. I'm stuck. I'm cast down. I wait on God. I cry like a little lamb. Now, of course, if a sheep wanders away from the fold and is cast, the shepherd may not be there to hear it or be there to get it. That's the danger of wandering away. My soul is cast down, but I praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan. We read in Matthew chapter 9, 36, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. One shepherd, having read this, looked at the Greek word and said it refers to a sheep being cast. Okay? They become helpless. Okay? And the shepherd interpreted it this way, lying down and unable to help themselves. Okay? And whenever, the only time a sheep is lying down and unable to help themselves is usually when they're cast down, okay, or either sick. Now, I showed you this picture before of the wool of sheep that just has picked up some straw, some sticks. Why do you think this would be fatal to a sheep? There's no contamination there. It's just clean straw. Any idea of why that could lead to the sheep's demise? Well, it's a very simple thing. They get itchy. And they want to scratch. So what they'll do is they'll lie down and they'll rub and rub and rub and rub. And then they might flip over onto their backs. Okay? So just trying to get rid of an itch, just trying to feel a little bit better, okay, could cause them to be cast over and then to suffocate. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Okay? When our ears itch for something different than what's in the scripture, it might not seem like much. Oh, it's just a little itch, you know, I'll just have somebody scratch a little bit. That could lead the sheep to be cast, to go over on its back, not be able to get up. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I'd like to take you to Psalm 23. It's not on the screen, but let's go there. 23rd Psalm. I think most of us know it pretty much by heart. In this psalm, of course, David was a shepherd. He knew about shepherding sheep. And even though he was a king, he still needed to be shepherded by the Lord. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And the first thing he says is, I shall not want. In other words, because the Lord is my shepherd, everything I need is given to me. And everything in here is what our soul needs. All these things that David talks about is what our soul needs. And the first thing he says he needs, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Okay. Remember, we talked about Philip Keller's book, The shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. In that book, he says there are four requirements that have to be met before a sheep can lie down in green pasture. Four things have to be met. The sheep will not lie down, even if the pasture is green. And when David said, "He maketh me," he's not forcing the sheep to lie down. You can't force a sheep to lie down and be at rest. He's saying, "He makes it possible for me to have rest." And here are those four things. The first is, the sheep must be fed. A hungry sheep will not lie down. Okay? He must feast. After he eats, then he can lie down and be at rest. Number two, that sheep must be free of friction from other sheep. If there is friction with a ram or a ewe or some other sheep, if there's a little quarrel going on in the flock, that sheep cannot rest. He will not be at peace. Okay. So the shepherd must maybe separate some or bring calm and peace to the flock. Okay. Take care of the troublemaker, perhaps. Okay. The third requirement that has to be met is the sheep have to be free of fear. If they hear a wolf in the distance, they can't rest. They're ready to run, ready to panic. They have to be free of fear. And the fourth is they must be free of pesky flies. And these flies like to go in their ears, their nose, their eyes. And if a sheep is being bothered by these flies or gnats, they cannot rest. So the shepherd does what? What David says here in Psalm 23. He anoints my head with oil. The shepherds would take, always the biblical shepherds would carry a big container of olive oil. And they would anoint the heads of their sheep, their ears, their nose, around their eyes. And the flies would not light. The flies would not land. The flies would just hover around but not infect the animal. They could rest then. So those four requirements have to be met before a sheep can sleep and rest. And that's why he said, "He maketh me, he makes it possible for me to lie down in green pastures." Then he leadeth me beside still waters. Sheep do not like rushing water because they're fearful. Again, they're fearful creatures and they fear being carried away because they can't swim. They'll drown. And they know that. And so when they go to a rushing stream, if they're thirsty, they will not drink. They will not drink from rapidly moving water. They'll die of thirst because they fear being swept to their death. So the shepherd has to lead them to still waters. A calm lake or stream. He restoreth my soul. Again, that's when a sheep is cast down, is restoration. Okay? He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's the rod and the staff of the shepherd that comforts the sheep. What does the shepherd use the rod for? Notice what David says here. Thy rod and thy staff, they, plural, comfort me. When the shepherd usually only carries one staff. But David says there are two staffs. Thy rod and thy staff, they, plural, they comfort me. He's talking about the twofold purpose of the shepherd's staff. It's used to defend the sheep, to strike at snakes or wolves, right? It's also used as a crook, a hook, to grab the sheep in the fleece to bring them back from straying. So it is used for protection and for, you could say, discipline, bringing the sheep back. And so David's saying, I do not fear because I see your staff. You will defend me, and if I wander, you're going to grab me and bring me back. The shepherd may use that staff too to break the leg of the sheep that we talked about last week. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So if the sheep know the shepherd and the under-shepherds, which are the sheepdogs or part of the family, if they're watching, protecting, looking for the wolves and the predators, that they can be comforted to know the shepherd is watching. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David's not talking about living in the temple. David didn't want to live inside the temple. He wanted to live, or the tabernacle. He wanted to live in heaven, right? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So everything you see here in the 23rd Psalm is what our soul needs. We need to be at rest in green pastures. We need still waters. We need our soul to be restored, because sometimes we're cast down. We're so afraid. We've stumbled. We've fallen. We've been tripped up. And we're flat on our backs. And we cry out, and we have to wait for the shepherd. And there are times that we are so down that there's nothing we can do but wait for the shepherd to come. Nothing to do but cry out to him. So all these things is what our soul needs there. Okay, I think that's all for tonight. Do you have any questions or comments? Okay. All right, let's close in prayer then. Again, Father, we thank you for giving us a shepherd in Jesus, one who loves us so much, Lord. He doesn't shear us for his own benefit, but for ours. Lord, there are times when you take things from us for our good. In this world, we can be so weighed down with things, Lord, that the thorns will choke out the seed, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches will suffocate us, just like the sheep that is cast and suffocates. But Lord, we cry out to you. And Lord, though you put us in an uncomfortable position, we know, Lord, we're in your hands. And we thank you, Lord, for being our shepherd. Help us to be good sheep, Lord, obedient sheep. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. So let me just show you one more picture.